I'm Don Fierstead on 96.9, and you are listening to KDLO Outdoors. Now we travel down to Hamlin County, Esteline, South Dakota. Dan Sternhagen, conservation officer. And fall fishing and nice weather, we've had it lately, and I think Ponset, Albert, Clear Lake by Thomas, and Clear Lake by Clear Lake may be good choices to go for walleye fishermen.
Yeah, definitely those four have been keeping everyone real busy lately. Ponset, if there's nice weather, wind out of the north, or wind out of the west, actually, that Sorensen boat ramp right along 81 can be filled up with anywhere from 60 to 70 boats, even on weekdays. Not everyone's catching limits of fish, but definitely a lot of fish are being caught. I mean, we still have that strong walleye bite out there. Going down to Albert, some guys are doing pretty well on the perch still over there. From what I have heard, the bite is slowing down, so there's less traffic getting into that area. The ramp is getting kind of silted in with all the people that were fishing there, so kind of be careful with that. The Clear Lake up by Thomas in Hamlin County, definitely seeing a lot of people out there trying for some walleye from shore. The bite has been fairly decent for smaller walleyes from there. We do want to remind people that it is kind of a small area, so do the best you can to pick up as much trash as you bring in. And Clear Lake over in Dual County, that's kind of a new bite, but definitely a late night bite. Guys are doing really well with really large walleyes on that lake. It seems like right after the sun goes down, guys can be pitching jigs or crankbaits and picking up 24, 25 inch plus walleyes. So.
Well, for the duck and goose hunters, Dan, maybe it's less ducks and more geese if they want to go hunting waterfall.
Yeah, if a hunter wants to get out and chase a duck or a goose, in Hamlin County, the best spot right now remains northwest, northwest section of the county. Success rates are still down, but I mean, weather's nice. I haven't heard a lot of complaining from any of the hunters. I mean, they're all very satisfied with the fall weather and the ability to just get out and enjoy it. So, that's one thing about hunting. It's not always all about getting limits, but enjoying and making memories with the family. So,
very true. Well, Dan Sternhagen, CEO out of Esteline, South Dakota. Thank you. Now we head up to the Webster offices of Game, Fish, and Parks. Biologist Dr. Brian Blackwell. And Brian, are you still doing some test netting or work on area lakes?
As far as netting on the lakes, we're done with that as far as our surveys go. But right now we're working in our rearing ponds where we're collecting the large fingerlings, the walleye large fingerlings, and stocking them around the area. We did help the western part of the state out by Rapid City haul some of our large fingerlings out there, so they're creating a couple new fisheries out there. And we've been starting to stock now on our lakes, Clear Lake as well as Enemy Swim. We'll be getting some of these large fingerlings that we're harvesting.
I imagine this time of the year, just not a lot of fishing pressure on some lakes. There's a few hot lakes, and people just naturally gravitate to those.
Right. We don't have, in our area up here right around Webster, the fishing pressure's down. I would say the most people we have are fishing up on open still, good high catch rates of walleyes there, but most of them will be under 15 inches. There is a couple people here and there on Wabe as well as on Bitter. I haven't heard of a real strong bite on either one of those right now, and I'm thinking there's plenty of food in those lakes, so the bite's probably a little bit tough right now.
Well, I know it's the time of the year where it's becoming pretty productive early, but mainly late, the sunset bite and after, for walleyes and a number of area lakes and probably all the northeastern counties. So, people can sure target some nice fish, and hopefully they get a lot of big ones, release those, and keep a couple to eat.
Right, yeah. This time of year, the diehards are out there in the evenings, like you said. Wabe, Bitter, over on Lake Traverse are kind of the main ones that we see people. But on Clear and Roy as well, there'll be people, Enemy Swim. A lot of our more permanent waters where we've had water in them for quite a while where there's a chance to get some bigger fish, there's definitely a lot of people fishing those lakes in the evening. fishing. Not a lot, but, you know, just a select number of people fishing those lakes.
Well, the Game Fish and Parks has probably made a decision with the public's input. Do you think the decision will be made after the meeting at Lake Ponset to remove that 15-inch minimum?
Yeah, a week and a half ago, the commission proposed to pull that 15-inch minimum off of Ponset. So we're in that public comment period right now before the meeting down in Brookings on November 2nd and 3rd. So, yeah, you know, the data pretty much shows that, you know, the walleyes their growth has slowed down. They're not as in that great a condition anymore. Most fish are under 15 inches, basically stockpiling under 15 inches. So to us, it looks definitely like there's harvest needed on those fish. So that's why we're proposing that that regulation be pulled off of Ponset. So, but if, you know, people have other ideas, they're against it or for it, they should definitely make public comment. They can email our department, call offices, call the peer staff, or they can even actually go to the meeting in Brookings and testify in person. So right now is the time for your voice to be heard. At the meeting last night, we had over 70 people, and there was definitely some opposition to what we want to do, but there was also a lot of people that were in favor of what we want to do.
Dr. Brian Blackwell, biologist out of the Webster Game Fish and Parks, thank you. Now we travel up to Brown County to the Sand Lake National Wildlife Refuge, Don Soderlund, with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And as far as migration and the weather we've had, has there been any improvement or migration in the Sand Lake?
Oh, we certainly have seen some migration in the last week to 10 days. We've got a nice number of swans building up on the refuge. I've seen just a few, but I have seen some snow geese on the ground in the area, even heard of a couple thousand flying over the area, and I've heard quite a few reports of snow geese and white fronts being spotted in the air, at least all over northeast South Dakota. So there's been a push. I've seen some divers that have, especially canvasbacks, that have moved through the area and into the area, and quite a few puddler ducks. What we haven't seen yet is big flocks of mallards feeding in fields yet. Yeah, we're just, you know, partially through the bean harvest up here, and corn really hasn't been touched, so we're early on the harvest. Maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll see some more field feeding action.
You know, it's probably hard what to imagine the migration is going to be like with the conditions maybe up for 50 to 400 miles going straight north of you.
Oh, you're exactly right. And it gets me excited to think that it's going to be a little better than last year. You know, last year, as we talked about, there were flooded quarter sections or sections of barley field up into Canada. And this year, they're dry like we are, so those birds aren't going to have a reason to stick around there like they did last year. So I'm hopeful we're going to have more of a traditional migration this year and see some better bird numbers earlier in the fall than we did last year.
Don, when you're out early in the morning in different areas there in Brown County and around the refuge, are you hearing much for roosters crowing?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that, and it doesn't look good. We're very few roosters being spotted in the area, all over up here. You know, I get over to Fault County and Edmonds County, and it looks like it's going to be a tough year. I mean, there's obviously still roosters out there, and better than, you know, most places in the country, but compared to what we're used to up in this part of the country, it's pretty alarming. You know, a lot of that probably had to do with the drought we had, and then a lot of areas to the west of Aberdeen had a big ice storm there late last fall, so combination of the two, I think, has really put the numbers down, and in addition to a, you know, loss of our CRP that we used to have 15 years ago. So it's going to be a tough year, and you expect to put some miles on to hunt roosters this year.
And on your website, will that be updating the migration when the ducks and geese are, you know, starting to move in a little better?
Yep. Thanks for bringing that up, too. And we're updating the website. It should be updated right now with a current migration, and we're going to update that. It should be updated every Tuesday from here on out. So just once a week, but it will be every Tuesday you'll be able to check in and see a new one, probably in the afternoon. You know, if there's some sort of major push or migration, we might change it other than that. But consistently, we're going to try to have it updated and ready to go for Tuesdays.
Don Soderlund with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, thank you.
Stay with us. There's more KDLO Outdoors.
Don Fierstead here with some additional outdoor information. It's the Haunted Fort at Fort Sisseton Historic State Park, and it'll be this Saturday from 1 o'clock and also to 8 o'clock. A lot of things are going on there. If you want more information, you can call the fort at 448-5474. That's 448-5474, the Haunted Tour, this Saturday, October 14th. Also, Fright Night, and that's coming up at Richmond Lake State Park. A lot more fun there, too. And you can give them a call or go online and check out all the information. It's at 3 and 8 o'clock at Richmond Lake Rec Area this Saturday. The Game Fish and Park is proposing fee changes for state parks. Basic campgrounds, modern campgrounds, preferred, prime, elimination of per-person daily entrance fee, and the $6 per vehicle daily entrance license remains unchanged. And also Fort Sisseton, some different things for renting Fort Sisseton, Lewis and Clark, and Angostura, and that coming up at that meeting. And the commission meets November 2nd and 3rd about these items. They're proposing modification to bait rules, also proposed the removal of the walleye length limit on Lake Ponset, and rules for marking non-meandered waters is proposed. A whole lot of information you can find on events or news at the Game Fish and Parks website. For the Outdoor Show, I'm Don Fierstead. Now we travel down to Brookings Game Fish and Parks offices. Biologist Dave Lucchese. And Dave, any standout fishing lakes in your region from Sioux Falls to Brookings?
It's been reasonably good across the region. I think that fall bite has started to pick up. Lake Campbell, just south of Brookings, continues to be really good. They're catching lots of small fish, but there's keeper fish in that 14 to 16 inch class in the mix, and it's just the best strategy is using a crappie rig. It's really hard to catch them using anything else. They're fishing that mostly on the south end. A lot of guys are fishing right off the bridge, and it's pretty fast action, so that's been really good. I tried Highway 81 Lake on Sunday night or Monday night, and we picked up a few fish, one about 4 pounds, walleye, one keeper. It wasn't very fast. There were a few other folks out there. Picked up a few white bass and a couple of trophy yellow bullheads. But there's a few fish being caught there. I think Lake Thompson, the last report I heard, a lot of white bass, but some walleyes in the mix. Our anglers are getting those. So that might be worth a try. Lake Madison, the walleyes have started to bite. Most of the fish I've heard caught there in that 13 to 14 inch class. So not very big, but it's a mixed bag catch. You're going to catch white bass and possibly some smallmouth bass and maybe even a perch or a bluegill or a crappie. So that's been pretty good. Closer to Sioux Falls, still been pretty quiet down in this area. We just got done stocking Scott Lake with yellow perch that we caught out of North Mud, so I'm sure some people will be trying that. Just haven't heard of much going on down there yet.
Well, Dave Lucchese out of the Brookings and Sioux Falls Game Fish and Parks offices, thank you. Now we head down to Arlington, South Dakota, talking to Jacob Christensen and the King Brook Pro Pheasants. The banquet's coming up Saturday, October 21st. And Jacob, tell us about it.
Thanks, Don. Yeah, it's we're a local chapter in Arlington. This spring we had approximately 110 members sign up, and we had 35 3-acre food plots signed up for. Approximately 70 live traps were handed out, and over 4,300 pheasant chicks were raised by our members, which is an awesome turnout this year. We're blessed to have the membership that we have. But getting into our fall banquet here, it'll be held on October 21st after Pheasant Opener in Arlington on Main Street in the American Legion Hall. We've got 1481 catering our event. They're serving pulled pork, barbecue pulled pork sandwiches with beans and coleslaw. The local Arlington FFA chapter will be actually preparing, or will be serving the meal for us. We've got our night of great conversations, good drinks. We're going to give away approximately 20 to 22 guns, depending on the turnout. We've got door prizes, silent auction, live auction, a couple of games for the kids to play, as well as some gun drawings. And then for a grand raffle, we've got you got seven chances to win. The grand prize is a 32-gun gun safe with three individual guns inside. Second place is a 20-gun gun safe, empty. And then we'll have five individual guns to be drawn for. And if anybody's got any questions or would like to purchase tickets, they can please contact me at 605-203-0982, and I hope to see some new faces there.
Well, Jacob, good job you and your organization do for the King Brook Pro Pheasants. Good luck with the banquet this year, and we'll talk to you again next year. Well, now on the line, we have Dean Syme from Dakota Sportsman's Club, and the annual steak feed is right around the corner. Tell us about it.
Yes, Don, on Friday, the 20th of October, our 13th annual steak feed will be out at the American Legion on West Highway 212. 5 o'clock kicks off social hour. 6 p.m., we'll start serving the steaks and everything else. This year, we're going to have a minimum of at least three guns that will be given away, ladies' jewelry, some cash prizes, and then also that is the night that we draw for our ice castle. You may have seen that around town and everything else, so you have up until the 21st to buy tickets for it, but we will be giving it away that night.
Now, as far as any more information, no charge to get in, just you can come or pay for the meal, and better yet, you could come in and renew your membership?
Yep. Any memberships that are renewed that night carry through 2018. But yeah, you can renew your membership that night, or if you want to, you can become a member. The cost of the meal will be $15, and that is for steak and all the fixings with it and everything else. We'll have a lot of good raffles available and just a good time. And we'll also have Game Fish and Parks officials will be there talking about pheasant numbers and other outdoor issues. So if you need to, you can get a chance to come talk with them.
Dean, if they want to learn more or new to the area, talk about Dakota Sportsmen and what you stand for, what you do, and the projects you're involved in. Can they give you a call?
Yep, they can give me a call. They can go on the web to Dakota Sportsmen and Inc.com, and we have our whole list of our officers and everything else. It gives a brief history of what the club does and everything else, but if not, they can sure feel free to contact us.
Dean Syme, Dakota Sportsman's Club, thank you.
This has been Don Fierstead with KDLO Outdoors. Listen each and every Thursday for all your hunting and fishing information throughout eastern South Dakota, western Minnesota, and out at the Missouri River. KDLO Outdoors, each and every Thursday.